This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Now, we've spoken about a lot of ecology in these last specials. And now we're thinking about our place in the world, because we are humans, we're at the top of kind of our food chain, really, but there's a lot of other creatures that are out there, and we impact on them a lot. So to help explain that and to try and get our head around it is Dr. Dan Foreman. He's on the line. He's a member of the British Ecological Society. He lectures biosciences at Swansea University. He is the dude for the job. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? Good to speak to you.
Very well, thank you. So thank you so much for joining us. Now, I said there that humans are kind of top of our part of the food chain, aren't we, really? But we need to pay more attention to our place in the world. So can you just try and expand on that? Try and run through all the different species that are around us and maybe how we affect these creatures.
Absolutely. I mean, the world is an amazing place, and we're really lucky to see such wonderful biodiversity. That's what we call the diversity of life on this planet. And all life on this planet exists to exist, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And we're part of that, part of this evolutionary continuum as well, of constant adaption and change as nature tries to come up with new blueprints for animals and plants and fungi that can adapt and survive better in conditions. Unfortunately, we humans are a very large impact on the natural environment, largely because there's so many of us. If you consider in 1900, there was maybe 1.6 billion human beings today. We're pushing 7 billion now. So you can't help but have an impact on the natural environment around you, be that through just building urban structures, factories, housing, but also the supply chains, the networks that connect us all as well, and agriculture, which takes up a phenomenal amount of land as well. So we encroach upon nature very, very frequently, and as a consequence of our population size. Now, this is all very well, but for humans, we're very fortunate to be humans and have this awareness of the world around us. But there are many forms of life on this planet that actually fulfill very, very important functions that we benefit from. And scientists often call these things ecosystem functions, ecosystem benefits, things that actually allow us to survive. And it's pretty obvious when you think about it. So oxygen, I think most of us will agree that oxygen is pretty important. Without plants, we would have no oxygen. So it's a very well-known thing, but it still emphasizes the importance of this. If we want to eat food, certain types of food, we need certain types of insects that actually pollinate those particular crops so we can actually eat them. So these things, if we affect them, they're actually affecting us as well. And that isn't the only reason why we should care for the planet and all this wondrous biodiversity around us. There are many reasons why we should look after it. If you consider that a lot of nature inspires us, both in music, art, literature, history, that there are so many things that are enriched by an understanding of nature. And I think being an ecologist really allows you to see that and understand your place in things. The best analogy I can give you is the world really is a chessboard, and humans really do think that we're the players behind it. We're making all of the moves and everything follows the dictates that we do. But in reality, we're actually one of the pieces on the chessboard. And I think we're analogous to the queen. We're very powerful. We can move around a lot. But let's not forget that we are in a place with other things and they can interact. And if you know your chess, then you know that the very mighty queen can be taken by the lowly pawn. So we have to understand that we are in this system and we need to look after ourselves and the world around us if we want everything to flourish and for humans to have health, wealth and prosperity.
Now, humans have worked very hard, though, to become the queen of this chessboard. Say, for instance, here's a situation that might never happen, or at the moment, actually, with the way things are going, possibly could. Imagine if the queen was toppled, Dan, right? Imagine if humans weren't around. What would the landscape be like, do you think, as someone who's studied ecology? How well would all these creatures interact with each other? Or do humans play quite an important part in keeping other creatures in check?
Oh, we certainly do, just by our very presence. We manage populations of lots of different things for our benefit and also to reduce problems such as disease, which is a very important topic at the moment, as I'm sure everyone's aware of. So without humans, it's very clear from our understanding about how quickly nature responds to gaps and opportunities, it's very likely that the signs of civilization would disappear very, very quickly indeed over a matter of a few hundred years, and nature would sort of come in and occupy this vacant landscape that we had dominated for so many centuries and hundreds of years. So I think it's quite a fascinating thing to think about, but obviously we don't want that type of dystopian future. What we want really is to understand how best to live on this planet and live with a closer connection to nature so we can best all benefit.
And it's not just us and animals that are having an impact. You mentioned earlier about diseases. Now, we've got to think of the grand ecosystem and the grand biodiversity that's out there. And viruses are part of that, aren't they? Viruses have a purpose. They act as many creatures do in that it's their fight to survive. How big a part do they have to play in the biodiversity of the entire planet?
Well, they're extremely numerous, and the problem being is it's actually very, very hard to count the number of viruses. And if you want to go even lower than that, there's a wonderful group called prions as well. But there are a bewildering number of them, and humans have co-evolved with these viruses through evolutionary time, believe it or not. And we've been exposed to viruses throughout all of our evolutionary history, but particularly so when we started leaving trees and sort of being this bipedal animal that moved around and started to socialize. That was really when we started to experience encountering a lot of these very amazing organisms. Whilst they are unpleasant to us and do occasionally cause significant harm to us, there are many things out there that have very, very important ecological functions. And viruses are part of our system. Whether we like it or not, they are there, and they're to be respected as part of nature.
And ecology is also really powerful in helping us not just understand our place in the world, but also understanding how to improve, coming up with solutions to problems, Dan. Can you just tell us a bit more about that, about how we can actually learn from creatures and from nature around us to maybe help our own situation?
Well, I think a lot of it is learning how to live with nature and how to reduce the impact that such a large number of humans actually have on the planet. That's really one of the greatest challenges that we have. Looking at the example of disease, one of the things we can do is understand the processes and the situations that we can help facilitate that actually encourage diseases to come into human populations. So you may not be aware that habitat loss and destruction can actually cause us to encounter what we call pathogens, dangerous organisms that can infect us. So actually changing the environment, destroying habitats, actually changes the dynamics of the world around us. And this can lead, in some very unfortunate circumstances, to the emergence or the re-emergence of certain diseases, which can have a profound impact on human society, such as at the current time with COVID-19.
And if you think, if you were to say that perhaps humans have overstepped the mark in how we are interacting with biodiversity, that perhaps we do see ourselves as being in charge of nature rather than, as you say, trying to work with nature. As someone that studies ecology, Dan, how would you suggest humans keep themselves in check more? What are like the first stages that we need to do to get on better with the world around us?
Well, I think it's really important to recognise that we all have a role to play. Not everyone needs to be an ecologist. Not everyone needs to be a politician and change the world. But we can all make very little simple changes to our life. In terms of using less water, considering where we buy our food from, is it locally sourced? Those things have a huge impact if everyone does them. And that obviously will have profound impacts on the amount of oil and petrol that we consume, which also is fueling the climate change issue that we've got at the moment as well. So just looking at the simple choices we can make as individuals, I think it's very empowering to know that we can make differences, we can make change, and indeed a lot of people are as well. And I think that's really important to remember. It's not all doom and gloom, far from it. Ecology is a subject which embraces the opportunity really to try to help society understand what is best for humanity, what is best for the planet. And by working in partnership with lots of other different subject areas, ecology is actually able to do this. And in the sense of diseases at the moment, there's this concept called One Health, which is the integration of medicine, veterinary sciences, but also ecology as well, so we can all work in partnership to understand the processes by which diseases emerge, how to tackle them, and how to avoid creating the situations that actually spark these events in the first place. So there's a lot of goodness to take away from this, and I call upon everyone, get involved, understand ecology. You don't need to be an ecologist, but you need to recognize that everything we do has an impact on things around us, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad. And when it's bad, we need to work together to find solutions.
Amazing. Dr. Dan Foreman, thank you so much for telling us all about our place in the world. It's been a real treat.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been great to speak to you, Dan.
That was an interview from the Fun Kids Science Weekly podcast. There's a new episode every week. Find it wherever you're listening to this, or ask your smart speaker to play the Fun Kids Science Weekly podcast.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.